February 1, 2021, it's a Lot from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Show happy 1st of Feb, happy fucking Monday. I think storm's coming here. You know, we don't get a lot of rain, so we kind of need it. Everybody else has got freezing ass shit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, cry me a river, why? But we do need some moisture, just not too much, because then there's the mudslides because of fires. Anyway, we start off the show with the... you could hear my guest, couldn't you, people? No surprise there. Well, we start with Focus on Sanity, John Coltrane, Don Cherry. Trippy album called the Avant Guard, right? Sounds like a military unit. Okay, like the Advance Guard. And then we had Anthony Perros with TM3. And, Brother Matt, love Grotto Plush Point because still quite quarantino mode. But I am not man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Anthony Perros with me. And did I say your name right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
I mean, why has my name got two fucking D's?
It's over. What? Done.
Okay. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, man. I remember riding around in my dad's car, and he used to have this, like, pink 57 Chevy, and he'd drive me to school, and he'd play surf music, blues like Sonny Boy Williamson, and stuff like that, and doo-wop. And that's those are some of my earliest memories of hearing music.
Riding in the car, hearing the radio.
He just would make cassettes and stuff for me, you know.
Oh, that too?
Yeah, okay, 45s and stuff.
Okay, a lot of people's earliest memories is riding around with their folks in the car, hearing music. It makes good sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I've had dudes that tell me about hearing sounds inside their ma and shit, you know. Real good memory. Okay. the pad you grew up in.
What's that?
The pad you grew up in.
Yeah.
Was there musical instruments?
Yes, my dad was a bass player in a surf band in New Jersey in the 60s. So he had a bass six and a old Jaguar under the bed.
The bass six is actually a baritone guitar with a fucking whammy bar and three pickups.
Yes. Yeah, he had like a really beautiful Shoreline Gold bass six. And one day I just decided I wanted to try playing guitar. And I went to the library and got a videotape on how to play. And I went to the bed and pulled out my dad's Jaguar and learned the riff from Pretty Woman. And that's how it started. And luckily, you know, my parents were very supportive, my mom and my dad. So
you didn't pull out the bass six.
I didn't, not until later.
I got to tell the people, bass six has got the strings close together. So actually, Jack Bruce in the first Cream days was rocking one of them.
That's right. He had like one of the painted psychedelic bass six, I guess, custom painted like they used to do. And also, I remember hearing pretty early on that Wes Montgomery had a record where he's playing bass six.
Well, I think he painted it up like Eric Clapton. Somebody had painted up Eric Clapton's.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Guitar, not his bass six. But I saw Jay had me come do a song with him at like the Rose Bowl opening for Cure. Like they had like four or five dudes on stage with bass sixes. I don't know the whole night or anything, but at one point they did. Maybe four of them. Getting back to your pad and music. What was the first record you bought for yourself, Anthony?
Oh, my God.
With your own money, you know.
It was probably some pop thing from, like, the early 90s. I can't even remember.
That's all right. It's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions, and there's no wrong answers.
I can't remember. The thing that's coming to mind is maybe a Metallica record.
Well, I ask that because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so it's trippy. And you can only have your first record once, right?
Yeah, I remember, like, maybe the first few. I had, like, a Jimi Hendrix Smash Hits cassette, a Metallica record, and then maybe some pop song, like, from CNC Music Factory or something like that was on the radio.
Everybody dance now.
Yeah, maybe when I was, like, 10, I don't know.
That's a good tune, good lick. What about the first gig you went and saw, Anthony?
Oh, the first gig that I got to see, I mean, when I was young, we lived in California, and my parents would like take us, like I saw the Beach Boys when I was really young. We used to go like the Bach Festival in Carmel, and but the first thing I chose to see, I remember, was Nirvana and the Breeders. I was pretty young, but and my mom took me, so
that was
pretty exciting because that was the first one I got to choose to see. It was on the last tour, so that was a pretty exciting one for me, being probably about 12 years old or something.
Understood. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I just had to take the general music classes when I was young. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, I joined the jazz band. I didn't know how to play jazz at all, but I just kind of tried out and they said, yeah. And so that was my first introduction to like that kind of music, or at least playing it.
Well, I always ask because a lot of schools got rid of their fucking music and arts program, so that's trippy. Now, you had already pulled out the fucking Jaguar.
That's right.
Okay. And you did this with no, encouragement from music at school at those general classes. It's just because your pop did it. You wanted to do it?
I mean, I just really... I mean, like, the music was always around me. You know, things were happening on the radio that seemed to an 11-year-old like it was brand new and it was music for me. I just wanted to try it. I mean, to be honest, yeah, I can't even remember. I just felt like I wanted to figure out something. I thought it was cool. I wish I had more to say about something specific. It was just like this urge that I couldn't control. It's like, I got to go to the library. I got to try to see what this is like.
I mean, everybody gets on their instrument in different ways. That's why I asked. I mean, I played bass because D. Boone's Ma told me to. You know, just, a lot of this shit, you know, just happens. There ain't any wrong way. You know, I'm just curious about it because I think if other people hear about all the trippy different ways you can do it, maybe they won't be scared. You know,
yeah, I just thought it was cool. Like, people I saw, you know, when I was like a 12, MTV was a big thing, and I was seeing all these bands, and I thought it was cool, and I just wanted to try it.
But you didn't want to be a drummer. You didn't want to be a keyboard. You didn't want to bass it.
No, no, I wanted to be taking solos and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, bass solos, you were talking jazz there. You're talking jazz there. And bass, I know, you know, Fettibone started bringing me to gigs, and I noticed during the bass solos is when people would take the pisses.
Come on.
Got a little too gratuitous, maybe. Look, I'm curious. You get in the jazz band, they start teaching you kind of jazz guitar, right?
Yeah.
Because but besides that, you just got a video from the library, no teacher, right?
Well, I mean, I got teachers after that. That's just how I started. Like, I learned a couple things, and then my dad showed me a couple things, like the riff to Sunshine Your Love, and I picked up on this stuff pretty quickly, so I got lessons. And I was just trying to do stuff, learn songs, until jazz band. And then that kind of started my odd relationship with jazz, because I didn't really like start really loving the playing the music until I was like maybe 20, because I was struggling with kind of like the jazz guitar tone. It wasn't as exciting to me as say the saxophone.
Now, let me. Since 20 years old, so that means you didn't have a period during school, well after school really. The basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. You didn't do that shit.
Oh no, I did a lot of that. I was probably in like. Man, if I was going to guess, probably like 10 to 15 bands in high school.
Okay.
I don't care who I'm playing with. I just want to be playing. And it's like,
probably none of them. I'm going to make a guess here, but they probably weren't jazz bands.
I was in some improv groups, but it wasn't jazz. We were just like writing some songs. They were jazzy, but it wasn't like it wasn't straight ahead jazz. It was pretty freaky.
Yeah, but you were composing. You weren't just me and D. Boone, you know, we were copying off records to the fucking movement.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be doing covers. I'd be writing music. I was in like a rockabilly band. I was in like all kinds of weird rock and instrumental groups. I didn't really have anything I wanted to do specifically other than just like play. So, like I said. It didn't matter who it was or what they were doing. I just wanted to like show up and like play and make some sound and see what happened.
Okay. I want to play here, Emerald Gaze.
And did you get a notification? We lost the keys. It was a jump and a skip. Instant gratification. I'm just working for the weekdays. I'm just trying to push that time away. I'm just falling from the window. There's a performative aspect to everything, you know. Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And I'm a pin cushion. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. Satisfaction guaranteed, no wrong answers. When you're putting it away, as much as I do, as much as I do. Patience, please.
Increase capacity.
Were you pushed? And did you get the notification? We lost the key.
It up now.
But we found a way to instant. Instant.
I'm on it.
Instant gratification. And I'm just working for the weekdays. I'm just working for the weekdays. Falling. We'll be right back.
Walk from Pedro show. Emerald Gaze by Anthony Perroge and Ben Salter from Tasmania with Gold Coast, which is another part of Australia, by Brisbane, right? Pete Kane from the D.C. area with Down, a part of a great band called Model Home. Hans Rotten from Switzerland with MRM. Then Bomas Prendon from the D.C. area around the 80s. Raga Alag. Agar. I mean, these guys, I don't know, recorded like 5,000 songs, did 5 gigs. Trippy. I don't know if you know about them, but Bomas Prendon. Cats out of ECU in Virginia. A few. Jacob Rogerson, Swag After That with Cars. And finally, Budden Peonies by Anthony Perroge. So, like, springtime. It ain't here yet, people. Unless you're Pedro, then it's always spring. Now to get back to the musical journey, because I find out, like, you're willing to play with anybody. I mean, just because you're in a rockabilly band, did you wear the outfit? You know, over here, I remember when rockabilly. I mean, we kind of called it clothes rock because there were ska bands and all. Costume had a lot to do with it. Swing. I remember this cat, really nice man, telling me, Mike, when they do the Gap Band, it's over. Yeah, because we was doing a New York Dolls thing by this time. Like, what happened to them? Well, Mike, when they do the Gap Band, it's over. You take the L out of Lover, it's over.
Yeah. So, no, man, I definitely dressed up a little bit.
You did? Dressed. And that's okay. Man, Halloween is my favorite. Halloween is my favorite holiday, because Halloween's the only day we admit we wear costumes.
Exactly.
I think in England they call it fancy dress. So some fancy dress. So what's one of those bands did you do your first gig in?
The first gig I ever did was at our eighth grade dance. The school let this band, play with three of my friends, and they let us do 4 covers at the dance. And that was my first show.
Now, was it a success? Did they throw shit?
No, man. Some people loved it.
Yeah,
some people hated it. But it was like, if you liked the music we played, you were into it as a little kid. So it felt good, but, you know, it was weird, too.
Man, we you know, first gigs for us, me and D. Boone here, it was keggers, right, in the backyard. Yeah. And the etiquette was, like, if that dude could play fucking Black Dog better than you, he could take your $15 pawn shop guitar and show you up in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Fucked up. Talking about feeling small.
Yeah, I mean, this was weird because it was, like, all the in front of all of our peers. I mean,
yeah, of course. Like Little League, you have to pitch against your fucking buddy. Or bat against him is even worse. And his dad's the coach. Fucked up, right?
Exactly.
All the trauma of youngness. Okay, after school, do you go to college for music?
I did. I went to Berkeley in Boston for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember, like, I went there to the summer camp, just to do something, you know, in between, I think, sophomore and junior year. And then I was just doing my thing, and, you know, I was pretty bluesy. I was into country guitar and rockabilly, and they asked me, like, to do these private tests. So I went and I, like, met, like, the heads of the department or the school, and, like, they were asking me to do things. And then it turned out I was up for a scholarship to attend the college. And in that moment, I was sitting there at the end of the summer camp, just like an auditorium, thinking, well, okay, if I get this scholarship, I'll do this guitar thing full time. And if I don't, I'll always play music, but I'll just, like, you know, it'll be my hobby. And then I ended up getting a scholarship, so I just went to music school. Right, I just decided right there.
First thing time I found out about that school, because Bob Quine had his card on the Voidoid sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I took... Well, I didn't take that picture, but I took one of Richard Helm. I put it on my bass, and that's where Dudes and Pedro said, fuck you. I knew you'd be into this shit. It was kind of the same. But that's where I know about Berklee School. And I've had a lot of cats on the show lately who's had so was it a good experience?
It was. I was nervous because I was scared that if I learned a bunch of theory, it would kind of take away the magic of music, but yeah, luckily that didn't seem to be the case.
Well, so. I heard of there was other benefits by going to that school, the Connects.
Yeah, I'm not really an outgoing person, so I didn't meet many people. In fact, I only met a handful of people, and I didn't end up staying because I just started feeling self-conscious because I wasn't playing the way, you know, I felt like I was supposed to be playing. I didn't have the same interests as everybody. I mean, there were a lot of cool people there that were open-minded and stuff, but I just started to feel like it wasn't for me after a period. So I left and went to school in New York and graduated from there. And when I was in New York, I got to see basically everyone I wanted to see play live and in person. Because the other thing was, in Boston, I couldn't go see shows. I was not 21, so there weren't a lot of opportunities for me to, you know, go to clubs and listen to stuff.
So you studied music in New York City?
Yeah. I got a jazz performance degree.
But was different kind of schooling than the Berklee schooling?
Yeah, I went to NYU. There was a very small jazz department. And I felt like after Berklee, I was like just really stressed about my playing. I didn't feel like I was at a level I need to be at. And so I went there and I just kind of started over. And again, I didn't like talk to anybody really for the first 2 years. I just stayed in my room and practiced and tried to figure some stuff out. And then maybe for the last year, I started emerging and trying to play with some
people. Well, I don't understand the difference, Anthony, because they're both schools. But the NYU was more calm for you? You didn't feel as awkward?
Yeah, exactly. And also, I could see, like, you know, I was going to see shows at the Village Vanguard, or I went to Tonic a lot.
John Zorn.
Exactly, like I'd see Rebo and all those people.
Mark Rebo, yeah, great guitar man.
Oh, man, it's like that stuff was blowing my mind. That's just stuff that I really was drawn to. And
that's Chess Smith, the big drummer, man, right? And Shahzad on the bass.
Oh, yeah, Ceramic Dog, crazy.
Yeah, that's it, Ceramic Dog.
Yeah, my dorm was right across the street from Downtown Music Gallery, so, you know, this is pre-internet, so I'd go there. After I'd look up who was playing with who on the records, and I was trying to figure that whole scene out.
So you're saying, in a way, it wasn't just the school, it was the whole, like, kind of environment was different.
Once I got to New York, yes. Having access to that kind of genre that was mixing it all up, and then having the record store, and, you know, seeing, like, the other thing that was big for me was the Paul Motion groups.
Yeah, drummer, man. We lost him to cancer. Petra sings on some of his last record.
Yes.
God, what a trip, because I think did I pick some to play for you? Yes, I did in the last hour. Isn't that a trip? Well, we're at the end of the first hour of the February 1, 2021 Dish of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Anthony Perros. Hold tight for hour two. February 1, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap from Pedro.
Yeah, your attention, everybody, your attention. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'd like to thank you all for coming out tonight to the Gaslight, the finest in downtown art and entertainment. For our last act tonight, we got a fellow all the way up from Alabama. Yeah, a fellow by the name of Sam Bennett. Bennett, is that right? Yeah, Sam Bennett. He's here tonight to read some, I reckon you're going to call it surrealist poetry or something along those lines. So, yeah, take it away, Sam.
Thank you. It is in the unfolding of your luxuriant hair that I see the ancient Egyptians dance, and the store windows shatter in eternal hurricanes of fire. This fire reaches the toes of the hanging man and is suddenly extinguished by sea creatures who've forgotten how to sleep. In waking dreams, they praise the unending glory of Marx and Herod. The hotel three doors down is untouched, but teeters on the brink of collapse at the hands of thirsty accidents. Intermittent clouds half obscure the trails of exclamation points as they dance in near unison. The violinist is dead. Her instrument is now in the hands of moneyed plagues who ravish the machines of yesterday with an unending torrent of glare. Someone takes the place of someone absent, and order is restored. Monuments to efficiency are erected everywhere. They quickly are overgrown and obscured from sight. Purchasing is mandatory. Non-attention is obligatory. The path is marked. All other maps are destroyed. Crazed and drunken policemen, resembling small pieces of delicious food, are seen in the company of huge churning valves. Order is restored. Sheets of green paper with endless and obscure calculations are handed out to all the people, whereupon motion resembles fragments of garbage eagerly collected by one-celled life forms. Useless objects are everywhere. They are pronounced illegal and immoral, and the decision is loudly applauded by groups of elderly Cro-Magnon men shortly before they are all shot. Order is restored. Symphonies of ashtrays drown out the sound of the lie of symmetry. In this they have attained an equilibrium such as that of the mongrel dog who wanders with purpose through opulent sitting rooms. Airplanes tied to decomposing remains shout triumphant cries of machine victory, and all tablecloths simultaneously burst into flame. Dinners of the ancients are invaded by screaming insecticides. Denounced are the methods of haphazard reality. The eyes of all beasts are trained upon photographs of shrunken heads, and all the pieces of pie reserved for heads of state are taken away in huge trucks. Like icebergs, the humans of the order of the remaining inception wait in long lines for old upholstery, sold to them by leering theologians who masturbate endlessly. Remembering the stories of the warriors of pastry, thousands of small, indistinct animals give way to the new order, founded on unshakable doubts. Order is restored. The creed of remuneration holds sway over the uncertain minds of all quotation marks. The words echo at every gaping hole. Gone are the incessant flexibilities of overindulged Venetian blinds. Gone are the percentage points and the small boxes that once held tweezers and lotions. Gone are the useless caresses of steamships. Gone are the erring principles of hordes of tomatoes and their bourgeois penmen. Guards are posted, and mineral wealth is insured.
Thank you. Reducing my old skin for sacrifice, standing again for you, trembling, the air I breathe, laughing, tumbling out, flesh made word from your lips, your hair cut short into brunette flowers, in case I do not mention.
You always pick up your phone, asleep. The weirdest times have gone through. You're dead, growing in my dark room. You always pick up your phone.
You always pick up your phone.
please pick up your phone.
What for Pedro show? Start off the second hour with Auntie Perosh doing Honeymoon Room. Then Sam Bennett in the unfolding of your luxuriant hair. Bow Power. Dr. Herman Green, we just lost him, the great sax man from Memphis. And Bo, this goes out to Man Pettibone's son, Bo, for him. Bo Power. I do not, in case I do not mention, from Phil Venable, and his, he managed, who was that government issue singer, man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he died of cancer just recently, too. Well, that's a good thing about Alzheimer's. You're always meeting new people or remembering new. God, I can't remember his name now, but he's a funny guy. Those GI albums were great, great. And then Lewis Cole after that with Phone. And finally, the Mesthetics. Hope I didn't fuck that up. Better Wings. And that's got some DC people like Joe Lally and Brendan, right? I just, these are Fugazi people. And I just did a bass for a 45 and Brandon was the drummer man.
He told me about that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because of the situation, we're trading files and stuff, a lot of collabs that way. And so I got to, be part. I mean, he's one of the most incredible. You know, he's reminds me of Zigaboo with the fucking, I can put the kick drum anywhere I want. He can also move his stomach. He lifts his shirt up, moves his stomach all around. Plays some shit like that. Back to your journey. So you graduate NYU, and then what's the mission? Start a band?
No, I mean, I was playing with several groups in New York. Some of it was just kind of like free improv. I had this group called, or I was in this group called New Electric. There was two guitars, bass, and drums that rehearsed pretty heavily and did an EP. But after I graduated, I was like, well, it's really seems difficult here in New York, so I'm going to go back to D.C. and see if I can, like, give some lessons and get some gigs and see if I can make it happen.
Difficult when you say that.
It just seemed like there were a lot of people.
Our competition?
Yeah, just like it was oversaturated, it felt like. And, you know, D.C.'s close enough where I knew I could have access to, you know, playing there. And I had been there for several years and kind of knew what was going on, but I didn't know what it was like to try to play music full-time in D.C., so I wanted to give it a shot. And my initial plan was, you know, I'd go down there for a year or 6 months and then come back to New York, but that wasn't the case. So I kind of fell into teaching and playing gigs in D.C. I'd play all kinds of stuff after a while. I'd be in a bar band playing Skinner covers, then I'd play an electronic show the next night. I got into the Roots scene because of my interest in Danny Gatton and Ray Buchanan.
Danny Gatton, great D.C. guitar man.
Love him so much.
Who was a big fan of his was Ed from Ohio. He even got a Danny Gatton-style Telecaster at the time.
Yeah, I have one of those too. I mean, it's like, and I mean, there's a good scene for that stuff still. But I never got to see him. He passed when I was 13, so.
Yeah, you know, depression.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got to watch out. That's a heavy fucking dealio. But he could play like a motherfucker. Well, tell me about the Mesthetics, because that's a D.C. Situation, right?
Yes, 100%. So, I mean, you know, I was doing all these things, just playing all the time. I had a surf band. I was doing solo noise shows. And I guess Brendan realized, or had seen me. He actually saw me play this Danny Gatton tribute show at this place called the Birchmere. And my wife and I have a duo called Janelle and Anthony. We've been playing for like 16 years now. And Brendan had a duo with the bass player, Doug. And we shared a bill one night, and Brendan came up to us after the show. I was like, he really liked our duo. That meant a lot. And then he was like, I was at the Birchmere show and I saw you playing the Danny Gatton stuff. I was like, what? You like that stuff? And he's like, yeah, I love it. And we started talking, and he asked Janelle and I to come play on a piece of the soundtrack for one of his films as a trio.
Can I ask you about that? Because he had stopped touring and stuff to raise a family, and it seems like Mesthetics was the first band he got back into the ring with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what happened was Joe moved back from Italy and asked Brendan to play some of the music he was working on. And he was like, is there a guitarist? So Brendan said, why don't we get Anthony to come play? And they asked me to come play. I immediately got really nervous, showed up. I was like, okay, what do you want to play? And Joe would say, okay, so this is like, the song's going to be like this. He'd describe it to me, and then he'd say, okay, let's just play it. I just want you to improvise. And the one thing he said to me was, don't play what I'm playing ever, please. I was like, okay.
You mean unison, no doubling.
Yeah, exactly. So like no riffing together.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I feel like a bicycle, and both feet are on the same pedal. So it's like, whoa, it's this big olive. Whoa.
Right, right.
There's no counterpoint, right?
Exactly. So that was cool. So they like counted off the first song, and I was like, just heard the two of them playing together, and I was like, oh, this sounds and feels amazing. I can do anything I want, and I feel totally cool because it's going to be okay.
All right, because they got a foundation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like so locked, and it's a powerful sound. I don't know what else to say about it, and I just felt like all my stress went away, and I just felt totally comfortable, and they really liked it. So that happened because someone asked Joe to do a tour, and this was a potential group for that tour. The tour didn't end up happening, so I waited 2 months after that first time we played, and I was just like too scared to ask them to play some of this music I had, but I finally did it, and they were like, yeah, let's do this. So that's
how they're doing your ideas. Okay, that's great. Because it's a two-way street. It's pretty bitchin'. You're talking about Janelle and Anthony.
Yeah.
I want to play Big Sur. We'll be right back.
davvero o è solo una composizione chimica?
Watt for Pedro show. Big Sur from Janelle and Anthony. And yeah, at Big Sur on Pacific Coast Time, we got washed out from the storm we had last week.
Yeah, terrible.
And, yeah, but they'll repair. And you know, a couple of years ago, it got washed out too.
So right,
around the same place.
Yeah. They're not having a good time out there.
No, we got to, yeah, this climate thing might be something to think about. Yeah, maybe. Then the dance from Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City. C. Field, that's Brother Shigay when he was in England with Macon. Think about Joe Lally. I got to interview him in Roma. Yeah, he was living with his mother-in-law and his wife, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Many years. And beautiful bass man. Great story. In fact, it was, I think, the only two-part Watt for Pedro show I've ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thank you, Joe Lally. Though, anyway, here's an Italiano band, The Heat Incorporated. They're in England. And down the city. And then Giovanni Aldopo Gin with Alainio Che... Gino Se Golaz... Latiza. Oh, fuck. Destroyed it. This is my mother's people, too. I ruined their language, sorry. And then finally, Janelle and Anthony. I could say that. Evil Age.
Yeah.
Right. And 16 years. That's bitching.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel really lucky to be married to Janelle. We've been playing for a long time. We've been friends for a long, long time. She really helped me kind of, you know, identify and develop my musical voice. So just feel really lucky to be making music with her because she's an incredible musician and arranger and visual artist. So we have a good time. And we've known each other since high school. We weren't good friends in high school, but we met when we were...
Okay, so you knew her through school, but you didn't really know her through the music scene.
No, we were both like, you know, grunge kids. She was a cellist in orchestra.
Ah, cello.
Had weird color hair and stuff. And we were kind of running around in the same circles, but never really friends.
There was some kind of crazy punk cello. What was it called? Rasputina?
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember that? I think there's two or three of them. Three of them, maybe. And you know, the cello is in fifths, so you get a lot of drama between the strings, more than us in the fourth world.
100%.
Yeah, so are you guys working on shit right now, music?
We are. We have a third record. That's what Evil Age is called. That's on our third record, so that's going to be coming out later this year. We've done two records that are all instrumental, but this one Janelle is singing on every track. So,
and so you gave us an upcoming preview.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Very kind. Very kind. And do you make demos or do you jam? What's the process?
We'll just jam. Like when we started, she lived on this property in Virginia where we lived in the suburbs that was kind of isolated, so we could like have bonfires and just play really late into the night, into like 3 a.m. So we jam and come up with ideas like that. But now, it happens pretty quickly. It's just like she'll have an idea or I'll have an idea and we'll just get it together. So, right now, since she's singing, it's a little bit different, you know, because we got to demo stuff up and then try to get the tones in the studio.
So it's like you do both. You jam and you do demos.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the instrumental stuff, it's much looser. So we're not worried about, you know, the song form in the same way because the parts of it are meant to be big and open, like kind of like jazz for improv. So,
yeah, understood. We're at the end of the second hour, February 1, 2021, edition of Watt for Pedro show. Special guest Anthony Perros. Hang tight for hour 3. February 1, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. We'll start off the third hour with New Electric, that band that Anthony was playing in New York City. Don't Send Me Home. Then we had Crane, Dirk, and Jim with Quicksand Blues, a live jam. Tolum with Christos Yerminoglo. Beautiful Greek name, and I fucked that up. Okay. Live at Duende Jazz Bar, Thessaloniki, Greece. One. That's a title. So, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Christos. Arranged by Janelle Leppin. Okay, you said something about arrangement. Susan Alcorn with the Heart Sutra.
Yeah.
All right. Sutra is a very old wisdom and knowledge and that stuff. Very interesting. And these are some collabs, right? Obviously. And like, you got another one here that we're going to play. James Brandon Lewis. Hayden. Now, this is spelled like Petra's name. Hayden is beauty.
Oh, yeah, it's for Charlie Hayden.
Ah, maybe that's why it's
spelled. Yeah, no, exactly. He went to, he studied with him at Cal Arts, so that's his kind of.
Ah, okay, yeah, Charlie. I got to. Well, for fucking Minuteman, got to do Little Gun with the man with a gun in his hand.
It. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he has this 200-year-old French bass, you know, with no amp. I said to D. Booty Georgie, we got to get Lil.
That is so bad.
It was beautiful, beautiful, man. And that bass solo he does in that, Don Cherry wrote this opera, right? The Einstein trip kind of thing. And he does the most bitching. Oh, man, it was very, very inspiring cat to know, and always made time for you and would wrap you with you straight on, you know. You know, you get a kink in your neck. You look down at people or you look up at people, and you look straight across, you know. And Charlie Hayes was beautiful now. From Springfield, Missouri, and he started early because his parents vaudeville, right? He was yodeling cowboy Charlie before he really got on the bass. Yeah, incredible cat. Big. So I want to play this here. Well, how do you know James Brandon Lewis?
William Hooker, the drummer.
Sure, sure. Bill Hooker. I know him through Thurston.
That's, yeah, right, right. Okay, so he asked me to come up from D.C. to do a record, and James was there on the session, and it was John Arabagon and my friend Luke Stewart, who's a great bass player from D.C., and we just made this record in, like, 2 hours and just started talking to James after the session and really enjoyed his company, and we hung out after, had something to eat, and he's asked me to play in his groups, and it was just like, you know, I guess he felt the same way about me, but when I heard him play, I was just like, wow, I really like this guy that's playing. And then we started talking, and I was like, I really just enjoy talking to you. So yeah, he asked me to play with his trio, so it was a quartet, and we went to Europe a couple of times, and then for Winter Jazz Fest in New York 1 year, he put together this quintet with Jamie Branch, so it was the trio with Trey on drums, Luke Stewart on bass, and we did one set, we had like a 20-minute rehearsal before, and my wife Janelle was in the audience, and she was like, you know, you guys should probably record that before anyone really learns the music, because that was really cool. So I told him, why don't we record this, and so we got everyone down in Virginia, did it in a day, and yeah, that band ended up playing gigs, and it's just been a really nice musical collaboration. He's a great, great musician, great person.
Well, let's listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Hayden is Beauty, James Brandon Lewis. Call Motion after that with backup. I'm sorry, ma'am. Nothing more to be done from Ramon Romero, trumpet man. And finally, Dave Ballou and B Punk. The tune's called Flutter Nutter. B Punk, what's B Punk?
B Punk, that's this group I was playing in with some Baltimore musicians. Dave Ballou is a wonderful trumpet player. Adam Hopkins played bass and Mike Cool played drums. And I think Adam named the band B-Punk because his friend would describe our freely improvised music as B-Punk.
Well, maybe that's Baltimore because I had a cat from Baltimore on the show last month. His name was Dor. You know this cat? This cat makes fucking righteous, trippy music, man. He uses the brakes. You know, it's like heavy edit shit. So it's like all these cuts and shit, but in a rhythmic way, you know?
Oh, yeah, they've got it going on in that city. Yeah, this like, there's a great festival called the High Zero Festival, and they're crushing it.
Yeah, this guy's name is Dor, like the accessory to a pad. Just check him out. So B-Punk is right. And I just love it. I love what you guys do. So Dave Ballou put it together?
Yeah, well, that band was actually, there was an improvising collective that Janelle and I were a part of for a long time called the Out of Your Head Collective. It's like maybe a pool of 50 people, and you play once every 3 months.
50 people?
Yeah, but they randomly organized free improv groups at this club called the Wind-Up Space once every 3 months, and you'd get to play once every 3 months is what I mean to say. So that was kind of the randomly assembled groups, and after we played, we were just like, let's make a record.
Yeah, sure. What's it called? Seize the moment, seize the day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, it was just...
Caveat emptor. Right? Caveat emptor. Yeah, seize the moment. Strike when the iron's hot or some shit like that.
Exactly.
No, you're so right. You're so right about that because it's elusive, right? The spirit. Technique and, rudiments and stuff, they're all important. But there's some spirit, right? That missing thing that comes and visits us.
Exactly, especially when you haven't made up your mind about what it's supposed to be yet, which is what I was saying Janelle said we should do with the recording. Like, you know, you can fall into your vocabulary too easily at a certain point when you're comfortable enough. So,
the vocabulary you have now, because that new experience might actually widen your vocabulary, right?
Exactly. And that's, on that track, I'm especially proud of the things I'm doing with Dave and my little solo Noise Burst. That was just a really exciting moment because that's a live record from that club, the Wind-Up Space.
Can I ask you about weird thing, you know, gear? What about pedals?
I love pedals so much.
Okay. Nels Klein, right? 36 pedals used at this one recording. And I said, what's your favorite one? He said the volume.
My Rat, that's still my first pedal that I ever got when I was like 12. So that's like the one thing I really need.
You ever play nylon string acoustic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been, actually, since I've been stuck inside, I've been taking some classical lessons and trying to play without pedals at all.
Well, they have one pedal, but it don't make a sound. You got to put your foot up, right? There's a certain kind of posture.
Right, exactly. I don't really buy into all the rules.
yeah, of course. I'm having fun. I'm having some fun with you, Anthony. Of course. You know, D Boom was, we had a cat lived in his car teach him, and he was wearing a flamenco, Roy Mendez Lopez, great cat. And I someone like you could probably tear flamenco up. Maybe one day you want to investigate.
Yeah, I've always been wondering about that right hand technique.
Yeah, but don't you think guitar really is about the strum in hand? Is it really about the finger in hand?
I mean, it's like...
I mean, which part is the drummer? It's the starboard or the pick in hand, right?
Yeah, that's the rhythmic part. It's really hard for me to say because...
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, they're both equal.
Okay, that's good.
That's always better than like some kind of hierarchy, right? Look, where can people find you on the internet, Anthony?
I don't have a website or anything, but you can find me on the social media outlets, Instagram and Facebook.
I was just curious if you had a website. Because it's like having your own fanzine. One day you can get a WordPress one for free. But look, so right now you're working on the fucking Janelle. What's it called?
Janelle and Anthony?
Janelle and Anthony Prime. That's what you're working on. That's what you're working on right now.
That's coming out later this year. I've got a solo record that Emerald Gaze is on that you played that's coming out in April.
Okay. That's interesting.
I'm doing a duo with Henry Kaiser. It's going to be ambient. I've got an ambient solo record coming out at the end of the year. And there's a couple of other things that are just starting. So I feel lucky. You know, like you're saying, trading files online now. I've got plenty of opportunities right now with that. So that's been fun.
Speaking of Henry Kaiser, you know, I've been helping Mike Baghetta in his MSS V-band. And two Rocky Erickson songs, three Creedence songs. Well, two Creedence and one John Fogerty song. Well, we're going to do. Because he's been for Cuneiform, been doing like a weekly show.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, so maybe I'll get to see you and him do a twofer.
We're talking about it. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Man, big honor to have you on the show, Andy, so much. I want you and Janelle to keep on keeping on, please.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay. And, bass players, sometimes we ask some stupid questions. I'm sorry. But remember, we look good. We need you. You know, we're the crowd for you got you tile guys. People, it's been the February 1, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.